The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
This class this evening is a continuation of the series that we're doing on exploring body and mind. And the guided meditation that I led was something that I mentioned at the end of the last meeting that we had as a way to explore almost the layered-like nature of emotions in our experience, that often there's so many different threads of emotion in our experience that we don't really know all of the different components that are coming together. And so this way of exploring, noticing the emotion and then coming into the body and feeling the bodily experience of the emotion, and then going back and checking into the mental experience, can sometimes begin to reveal some of those layers of the emotions. So I said last week that I would do a guided meditation on it, and I wanted to offer it for you. And just very briefly, because I do have another whole topic for tonight, but just to check in with you about how it was for you, whether there was anything in particular that you noticed or what happened, if there was anything that anybody would like to share on that. Yeah.
Thanks. So I had a question about the words that you were using to describe what was going on in the body. I was experiencing some nausea. And I was thinking, is that even the right word? It seems like the words you were using didn't have any kind of attachment. There was no judgment attached.
Yes, yes.
And when I was thinking nausea, I think that of nausea is like a negative feeling.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't think of another word for it. So.
Yeah, I mean, nausea is a kind of an interesting sensation. I'm not sure I know of other words for it either. Although there's often a kind of there's the moisture in the mouth that comes with nausea. There's a kind of contraction in the back of the throat. You know, so you could find some aspects of the nausea perhaps to connect with. Although sometimes I find it's not. It's not such a good idea to pay attention to nausea. I found one experience that was very interesting. When I was ill, actually, I was ill and I was feeling the nausea and really noticing the feelings. And very rapidly, I had to go and throw up. I mean, but it was actually it's what the body wanted to do. The body wanted to get rid of what was in the stomach, and I had been resisting it, and so by turning my attention to the feeling, it actually let the body do what it needed to do, which was kind of an interesting lesson for me, you know, that we do tend to kind of push it down because it's such an unpleasant feeling. But yes, the words I was using were more neutral just for that reason. Nausea itself. I mean, we're those sensations that I mentioned, like burning, tightness, twisting, pulling, they could be pleasant or unpleasant. Nausea is generally unpleasant. But the sensations that we're talking about can have the quality of either being pleasant or unpleasant. So even though the word is neutral, and that using the neutral word does, I think, help to take some of the reactivity out of the mind around it. If we're noting it as pain as opposed to pulsing, pressure, heat, tightness. Pain has a connotation of a concept. So that's the kind of level I was wanting to move to, is underneath the concept with those words. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay, so in the past few weeks, I've talked about the the elemental, the first week I talked about the elemental nature of experience, just this question, basically. We really have begun to explore in the first week what the felt sense of the body is, the language of the feeling of the body, all of those sensations, apart from the concepts that are connected with the body. Really helpful to, in terms of beginning to meet our actual experience, to come down to this elemental level so that we're connecting with the actual experience as opposed to our ideas about experience. It's so easy to relate to experience through our ideas as opposed to actually meeting the actual experience that's happening. And so this coming into the elemental experience that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks really helps to come underneath the concepts. So very helpful to get familiar with that. And then last week I talked about emotions and reactivity and how there's such a tight interweaving between the body and mind around emotions, and that one very skillful way for working with emotions is to come into the body, begin to recognize the bodily experience that's happening as a manifestation or as a result or as an impact of the emotion. Emotions have an impact on our body. And we can just connect with that impact. And it helps to take us out of the views, opinions, beliefs, judgments that we have around those emotions. And it can kind of support a way that the emotion can move through us. When we're in our minds and caught in the emotion, we often are telling stories about the emotion and have a kind of a narrative going in our mind. And that can just serve to keep the emotion running. It's just like a rat in a cage just turning around, that it just keeps the emotion going. And if we can get out of the mental realm and come into the physical realm, we can kind of just allow the emotion to wash through us and then notice, kind of like we did in the guided meditation, perhaps some of you noticed a shift in the mind after having paid attention to the body for a few minutes. Just noticing that coming into the body can really allow some of the reactivity around emotions to dissipate. So that's what we talked about last week. And then also last week I mentioned a kind of a subtler level of kind of a reactivity, although it's not really as strong as reactivity, of liking and not liking our experience. That too is a mental response that sometimes, and what I'm trying to do in this whole series is to help us learn how to distinguish bodily experience from mental experience. There's so much conflation that happens for us. And so the liking and not liking, sometimes it kind of feels automatic that we like certain things and we don't like other things. And we may not even recognize that as something happening in our minds. So just pointing also to the fact that liking and not liking is kind of a subtle form of reactivity that can happen based around our experience. And it can happen based around our physical experience, our mental experience, our sights, sounds, smells, tastes, whatever experiences we have. We can have this movement of liking, not liking, that then tends to lead into the stronger forms of reactivity. It can lead in that direction. Sometimes we can just, oh yeah, that's nice, I like that, that's a nice thing. Other times it gets a little more, ooh, I want that, I need to have that, I'm not going to be happy unless I have that, and there's a tightening and a clenching around it. Or there's an aversion, a pushing away, I don't like that, I've got to get rid of that, I'm not going to be happy unless I can get rid of that thing. And that's where we move into the stronger emotions and the reactivity. So underlying all of these kinds of reactivity is the kind of very basic experience. It's kind of in the area or realm of an elemental experience, but it's not a physical experience, it's a mental experience. And it is of the feeling of whether the experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. I mentioned this just a few minutes ago around the sensations. The sensations in our bodies will have this quality. Every sensation that we experience will have a what we can call feeling tone associated with it. It will either be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. It's so every experience has this. All of our physical experience, our mental experience, it all has this. Every experience that we have has this quality of having a feeling tone, of being pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Our mental states have this quality. So, for instance, anger usually feels unpleasant. Happiness usually feels pleasant. Our bodily sensations have this. It's easiest, I think, to get familiar with this aspect of feeling through the touch sense of the body. So the sensations that we've been working with, the tingling, vibration, pulsing, pressure, heat, coolness, tightness, burning, all of those sensations will have some kind of a feeling associated with them. And it's easiest to get familiar with that. It's kind of obvious for us in the physical body. The touch receptors of the skin in particular are very finely attuned to noticing pleasant and unpleasant. So it's kind of easy to begin to recognize that in this realm. So for instance, you know, if you're going outside on a cold day, if you put a warm scarf around your neck, the warmth there will probably have a pleasant feeling to it. Or if you, you know, are walking quickly across a room and you bump into a piece of furniture, you know, the contact of that is like, ugh. You know, there's a pain, there's an unpleasant experience there that goes with the perhaps a burning, a pressure, a pulsing experience. So there's the unpleasantness that goes along with that. The unpleasant quality, the pleasant quality, it's a different aspect to the experience than the burning, the pressure, the pulsing, the heat, the lightness, the heaviness, the weight, the tension. It's a different, kind of a different lens that we can look at our experience through this pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral lens. And it's a really important lens to get familiar with, because so much of our reactivity, that like the reactivity I talked about last week, the liking, not liking, the greed and the aversion and the delusion, they are all basically born out of this very simple experience of whether something's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. When something's pleasant, we like it, we want it, we want more of it, we've got to have it. When it's unpleasant, we don't like it, we want to get rid of it. We want to push it away. So getting familiar with this quality begins to show us kind of how reactivity comes into being. It's the pleasant, unpleasant, neutral quality of our experience. It's a given. It's just going to happen. We're not going to get rid of it through meditation. You know, that there will be pain in the body. You know, when we fall down and bump our knees or cut ourselves with a knife, there's going to be pain in the body. But there doesn't have to be reactivity. There doesn't have to be any kind of resistance to pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. Right now I kind of want to come back to the aspect of feeling itself. As I said, it's a mental experience. And, you know, that's probably kind of easy to understand with respect to our moods, our emotions. You know, when we have an emotion of anger, the feeling of unpleasant that's associated with that, we can see, yeah, that's a mental emotion. That's a mental unpleasantness. Or happiness, the emotion, the tone that's associated with that, the pleasantness that's associated with that, we can see that as a mental quality. But our physical sensations, you know, that when we fall down and bump our knee, that it's unpleasant, that that's a mental experience and not a physical one. How do we understand that? So I'd like to give you an analogy that may help you to understand, or not an analogy, but a kind of a story, kind of a thought experiment for you that might help you to see how a physical experience, the pleasant or unpleasant aspect of it, is a mental construct or a mental, it's not so much a construct, but a mental quality. So imagine that you are on a busy street corner and you're waiting for a friend. You know, you're standing there and there's a lot of people going by, you know, and you're waiting for a friend, and you've set a particular time that you're meeting this friend. And you, at about that time, you feel somebody touch your shoulder. You might experience that sensation of that touch as pleasant. You're expecting your friend. Your friend comes up, and there's just a sense of, oh, here's my friend. You know, the contact of that experience may feel pleasant to you. Now imagine yourself on that same busy street corner, and same people around you, same busy intersection, and you're not waiting for a friend, you're waiting for the light to change. And you feel somebody come up and touch you on the shoulder. That you might not experience, you might experience that as unpleasant, kind of being startled to have somebody touch you in that situation. So this is a way that we can begin to see. It's like the same kind of experience, experienced as pleasant in one situation and unpleasant in another situation. And the reason why is because of the causes and conditions around the experience. So it's because you were expecting a friend in the first case that the sensation may have felt pleasant. Because you were not expecting anybody to be touching you in the second case, that it may have been experienced as unpleasant. So you may, from this example, begin to get a sense of how the feeling of experience is understood to be mental rather than physical. And just as an aside, perhaps, I've been reading a book about a neurobiological book about creation of self in the brain, how self is understood to be a process that's created by the brain. And in this particular book, the author really feels that feeling, in particular this kind of bare feeling around pleasant, unpleasant, is really central to the whole way that the self is created. So it's, you know, it's very in line with what the Buddha teaches. And it's the understanding in neurobiology that this feeling is a product of the nervous system. And in fact, it's created in the brain. It's there are some, like if you sever the, if the spinal cord is severed, you may get some reactivity, like there can be if you hit some of the reflex points. You may get some movement, because that happens at the spinal cord level, but you won't feel the pleasant or unpleasant aspect of that. It's actually in the brain that is constructed. So even in neurobiological terms, they look at this quality of pleasant, unpleasant as being a mental event. Even though it feels, it's so connected with our touch sense in so many ways, this feeling. So as we begin to, you know, explore this quality, the quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, we can begin to see just how much reactivity is born out of this. The pleasant, unpleasant, leads to liking, not liking, leads to further on full-out reactivity. So we begin to see that that reactivity, all of that is in our minds. It's created in our minds. We often think that our reactivity is somehow responding to something that's actually out there in the world. But what we're actually reacting to is something inside. There's this feeling of pleasant, unpleasant. And that's what we're reacting to. And that's happening in our own minds. So through this exploration, we can begin to see how our own minds create the struggles, our own struggles. Our own minds create our own struggles. And this is good news. I may have said this last week. It's actually good news that it's not, out there that our problems are. You know, if it were just a cause and effect that something happens out there and we feel horrible, there's not much we can do about it. But it's happening in here. And there's something that we can do about it. We can begin to see how the reactivity is created. And in seeing that, the mind begins to understand it doesn't have to do that. It doesn't have to do that anymore. It's very deeply ingrained, these reactivities. It almost comes down to biology in a way, but it's not hardwired. We do have a choice of whether we react to pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And so this exploration of mindfulness of this quality begins to, you know, one of the most powerful reasons why this exploration of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral helps us is because when we can connect with the feeling of pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, it can begin to actually circumvent the entire reactive chain that follows off from it. So if we can be aware and mindful of, oh, that's pleasant, that's unpleasant, you know, bumping into the edge of the bed with your knee and feeling that pain. I mean, there's the unpleasantness of it. There doesn't have to be a whole reactivity of, oh, I was so stupid to not see where I was going, and I'm going to have a big bruise on my knee now, and it's going to be sore all day, and what am I going to do about it? I'm not going to be able to sit in kneeling meditation. I mean, all of that is optional. The physical or the unpleasantness of that experience is a given. It's going to happen. But the whole set of proliferation and reactivity off of it is not a given. It is optional. And so as we can begin to be mindful of just that, the pain, or the unpleasantness as we hit that piece of furniture, it's just unpleasant. It's not a particular problem. So I want to do a little short exploration of feeling tone in your experience, just to give you a sense of what it means to pay attention to this quality. It's kind of a subtle quality, but you know, once somebody's pointed it out, especially around the physical body, it can be pretty clear, and it can be kind of easy to orient to. You know, noticing the unpleasantness of running into a piece of furniture is pretty easy if you know that that's an interesting thing to notice, as opposed to, you know, automatically leaping off of it and reacting. So I want to just do a little bit of exploration about this in your experience, and we'll just sit for about a minute or so, and then I'm going to start suggesting that you pay attention to various areas of your body and just key into whether you notice what the feeling tone is around that. So just allow yourself to settle in your meditation posture and take a couple of breaths. So now I'd like you to just notice what's the most obvious experience, physical experience right now for you. What's the most obvious physical sensation in your experience? Take a moment to notice what it is, perhaps the vibration or pulsing or pressure or heat or coolness. And also see if you can connect with whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And as you observe the feeling, does it get stronger or weaker or stay the same? Now, for the next couple of minutes, I'm going to just offer you a series of places in the body to pay attention to. And as you turn your attention to each area of the body, just take in whether that experience in that area of the body has a quality of pleasantness, unpleasantness, or neutrality. The contact of your buttocks with the chair or cushion or bench. Your knees. Your shoulders. Your jaw. The area around your eyes. Your cheeks. The backs of your hands. The bottoms of your feet. Now I'm going to ask you to call some images into your mind. And as best you can, just rest with the image or the idea. And see if you can recognize the feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, for the image. Let's see if you can just rest with the image and not think about the image. Imagine yourself relaxing on the beach on a warm, sunny day. Imagine the sound of nails on a chalkboard. Imagine yourself looking into a cloudless sky, a clear blue sky. And letting go of the images, just for this, to end this little exercise. Allow the corners of your mouth to turn up just a little bit into a half smile, and notice whether there's any feeling tone around this. Did you get a sense of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral in this exploration? Did you get a sense of it? When I mentioned the thoughts, the ideas, did you have responses to that? Were there, did you notice differences between those thoughts in terms of the feeling around them?
I was amazed at how much my body reacted when you talked about the nails on a chalkboard. My whole body reacted to it almost.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. It's just a thought. Just a thought. It's so amazing. Yeah. I put it in there for just that reason. Because it's a very visceral thing, you know, and it's like, it's not happening. It's an idea. And yet our whole body kind of freaks out about it. How about the turning up the corners of your mouth and a smile? What happened? Anybody, just say it out. Just
pleasant.
Uh-huh. Was it surprising for anybody to see that? You know, it's a little trick. We can use this to support us. I think this may be why the Buddha has a half smile on his face. Bring some pleasantness into the meditative experience. So partly around this this exercise, I wanted to point out or show how all experience, you know, that our mental experience, our physical experience, all of them have this feeling tone, that there's that quality of the feeling tone that comes along with them. Now, the thoughts that I mentioned, they do have a feeling tone, and yet probably what you experienced in the thinking about the sound of nails on the blackboard wasn't so much that it was the thought itself that was unpleasant, but there was a subtle reaction to the thought that was unpleasant. Thoughts have a feeling tone, but more often when we think a thought, something like, I'm a failure, the thought itself is actually, it's just a thought, it's neutral. But we believe the thought, we invest ourselves in the thought, and in that investment, the belief that comes up around it has that feeling tone. It's unpleasant to believe I'm a failure. have that thought flit through the mind is kind of light. But when there's a belief around it, it gets heavy, and then that the feeling tone becomes unpleasant around that thought. So this kind of response of a kind of a mental reaction to an experience can actually underlie why we think physical sensations are pleasant or unpleasant also. So I'm going to give you an example about this from my own practice, my own experience. One night I was having trouble sleeping, and what I tend to do when I'm having insomnia in the middle of the night is I'll meditate. It's a great way for me to just let go of whatever it is that's spinning in my mind. So this night I woke up in the middle of the night and I was having trouble sleeping, so I just got up and went to meditate. And at some point during the meditation, I began hearing this very quiet tapping sound. Just really, you know, just that kind of thing. It sounded like a little bit off in the distance, but within the structure of the building, within the building. And the initial experience was kind of, there's a contraction in the body, and it felt to me like the sound was unpleasant. But I began just observing what was going on, and in noticing that contraction, I noticed, well, the contraction is unpleasant. The feeling around that contraction is unpleasant. And just, you know, the tapping kind of came and went, so I could play with it, listen to it for a little while, notice the responses and reactions to it, and then it would go away, then it would start again. And at some point when it started again, I noticed a moment of fear. And the fear was definitely unpleasant. The fear had an unpleasantness to it. And then when the tapping happened again, having become aware of the fear, I wasn't really aware that there was just a subtle flitting of fear through the mind with an association with that tapping. I'd noticed the physical tightening and contraction, but I hadn't seen the fear. When I saw the fear, the next time I heard the tapping was pretty neutral. It wasn't unpleasant. So it was really the fear that made it seem as though the sound was unpleasant. So this kind of thing can happen to us a lot. This kind of, again, this is body and mind. You know, there's something that comes in through the ear and the sound, and we think, oh, that's an unpleasant sound. You know, maybe the sound of the motorcycles you think is unpleasant. But is it really the sound of the motorcycles, or is it some idea you have around motorcycles that's unpleasant? So looking at this, what is it that's actually unpleasant? This exploration can be very interesting. So it's, yeah, and in relation to this, actually, there's actually a teaching in some of the Buddhist texts around pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, and the body that is kind of startling. And the teaching is that the physical body can experience pleasant and unpleasant experience. So the touch sense and the internal sense of the body, or the whole visceral internal sense of the body, can experience pleasant and unpleasant. But the other four physical sense doors, seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, that the understanding is, and I'll just put it out there as a thought, the understanding is that everything coming in through those sense doors is inherently neutral. That any time there is a sense that a sight, a sound, a smell, or a taste is pleasant or unpleasant, it's because of some kind of reactivity in the mind. So, you know, for instance, you know, seeing something, a rose versus a decaying corpse, probably pretty hard to think of that as being neutral. But what the eye takes in is pretty much form and color. And it's constructed in the mind. The rose is constructed in the mind. The idea of rose is constructed in the mind. The idea that the rose, even if we're not close to it, the rose smells good, is constructed in the mind. The idea of what a decaying body is constructed in the mind. All of the associations and beliefs and thoughts around that are in the mind. And the thought of what it might smell like in the mind. Those are the things that we're reacting to, rather than the actual sense data coming into the eye. Now, I just find this to be a very interesting thing to explore and experience. Now, I don't know that I actually believe it, especially around the taste sense, for instance. You know, there's some tastes, I think, that are just designed to make you gag, you know, because they're not good for you. So, you know, I'm not sure I believe it, but I found it to be a really interesting place to explore in my experience. If I am experiencing something pleasant or unpleasant in these sense doors, like the tapping, you know, is it really the tapping that's unpleasant, or is there some kind of subtle reactivity going on? So it can be a really interesting exploration around this pleasant, unpleasant. Did you have a question?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
What was the tapping?
I have no idea. I never found out. Yeah.
So I've actually had experiences in the past where, you know, something happened and I immediately reacted without understanding what it was. It's sort of, you know, a reflexive kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I would notice that there was no emotional component to it. It was just me jumping, fleeing, or doing something reflexive. And it wasn't until later that there was an emotional reaction mm-hmm. to whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Once I put some sort of conception around whatever the event was.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I'll give you an example of that from my experience. Like, I was walking late at night at Spirit Rock and went crossing a crack in the sidewalk, and the crack turned into a rattlesnake. And it started rattling, and I froze. You know, and this was all just kind of, like you say, there was very little emotional reaction. And this was just, I kind of just sat there, watched the body do its thing. I froze, and I started moving slowly backwards. And it just was a very, you know, it's just like what the body did. It was very, you know, it wasn't particularly, there wasn't a lot of emotional reactivity there. It's just what the body did. And yet, in that whole thing, you know, there is a lot of mental stuff going on. I mean, it's not just, you know, seeing a rattlesnake. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I think that there's something around there's something very, you know, if there's a warning signal. That snake is giving you a warning signal. And, you know, our minds at some very deep level know how to process that. You know, I think animals know how to process that. So it's kind of at a very deep level. There's a very deep kind of processing around that. But again, it is mental. There is a mental component there. But like you say, so the reactivity happens later. That's interesting. You know, it's interesting that it didn't particularly happen in the moment. That one of my experience, I didn't have much of an emotional reaction later, but I did have an experience where I went into a skid on a snowy road and skidded into a lane right in front of a snowplow. It was like the snowplow was coming this direction, and when I hit the brakes to slow down, I skidded right into the lane of the snowplow. And somehow my body just did the right thing and steered me back and steered against the skid and did the right thing. There was a big emotional reaction after that. I mean, you know, just the recognition that, you know, if my body had steered the other way, the car would have flipped. I probably would have been dead. You know, there was a big emotional reaction. So it's interesting to see that there can be that delay. You know, that it's kind of like because we replay it in our minds that there's that reaction. Did you have a particular question about that delay?
Not necessarily a question. It's more of the observation that the hardwired event is decoupled from emotion.
Although it's not exactly hardwired, even. I mean, it's close to hardwired, mm-hmm. but
from a conscious
point of view. It's below the level of
consciousness.
Yeah. But I mean, we can make choices in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that, I guess the observation is that you know the emotional component around the event. Is a conscious.
It's separate, yes.
Is a conscious event.
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's me reacting to the circumstances.
Yes.
As opposed to the circumstances inherently being coupled to the emotions.
Yes, that's. I think that's right, yes. And that's a very interesting thing to recognize. And we don't have to move into that reactivity. It is optional. I have a couple more things I want to say. Let's see, what time is it? So another place to begin to explore around this area of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral is that when there is reactivity, you know, we think we're reacting to, something in the environment. You know, we think we're reacting to some people like blue and some people don't like the smell of hot roofing tar. You know, it's like we think it's the blue that we like or we think it's the hot roofing tar that we don't like. But what we begin to see in this exploration is that it's the pleasantness and unpleasantness that we like and don't like. And somehow, for some of us, blue is pleasant. And for some of us, hot roofing tar, for most of us probably, hot roofing tar is unpleasant. but it's not the thing. It's the unpleasant experience that we react to. And that is so crucial to understand. And likewise, in sort of a more complex example. So, you know, your partner says something to you that you don't like, you know, that you feel like is unpleasant, that they've said something that hurts you in some way. And so there's the reactivity. So, you know, in thinking about that, the sound of the voice, depending on how the person has spoken, may be pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. If they're yelling at you and speaking harshly, you know, the sound. Well, if we go with the teaching, then it's all neutral coming in through the ear door. But, you know, sometimes the harshness of the sound might have a sense of unpleasantness just in that. But if they're just speaking in a kind of a neutral tone of voice, there's some idea, the words that they're saying, it's the ideas behind the words that are being reacted to. And it's perhaps the belief around what it means in the relationship that you're reacting to. And again, the belief may have a feeling tone of this means that he doesn't love me anymore, and there's a feeling of unpleasantness associated with that. So it comes back to this pleasant, unpleasant quality. All of our reactivity comes back to this pleasant, unpleasant quality. It's kind of like this very narrow gateway out of which all of our reactivity arises. And so getting familiar with it is really helpful in our practice. So start particularly with exploring it in bodily experience. That's the easiest place to notice it. And, you know, I really like to encourage this in daily life, daily activities. You know, you're brushing your teeth or you're washing dishes. See if you can kind of notice the flow of pleasant, unpleasant neutral experience in that. You know, you start the dishes and the water's cold and you're waiting for it to get warm. Maybe the cold feels unpleasant, but then as it gets warm, there's a pleasantness. And you know, that pleasantness, when you put your hands in that warm dishwater, you know, it's amazing how it can travel up your arms into your whole body, you know. Or you holding a cup, a warm mug, you know. I remember on retreats really appreciating that feeling and seeing how just the touch, that contact of that warmth, kind of had an impact not just at my hands, but it kind of melted some tension inside my torso as well. So there was a kind of an extension of that pleasantness, you know, that the kind of a lessening of tension through the body from that pleasantness. So exploring in your daily activities the pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral qualities, and seeing what happens for you there. Explore it in eating. Eating is a really great place to look at this. You know, eating is one of those few activities where all of our senses are engaged. You know, we see the food. We may be drawn to certain kinds of food and not others. Maybe the presentation on the plate is beautiful, or perhaps, you know, somebody just slopped the potatoes on the plate and it's a bit unappetizing. You know, just notice there's the seeing, there's the hearing when you're chewing and swallowing. There's sounds that happen. There's the smell of the food as you lift it up to your mouth. There's the taste on the tongue and all of the physical senses of moving the body and the coolness and heat and texture of the food on your tongue. And then there's all the ideas we have about what we're eating, what we like, what we don't like, what we want more of, what we don't want more of. It's such a rich place to explore, particularly around this area of pleasant, unpleasant, and see if you can notice how the pleasant and unpleasant leads into the liking, not liking, into the reactivity. So it's a very powerful exploration, a very powerful way to begin to notice again its distinction between body and mind that I'm interested in exploring here. The physical experiences have the mental component of the feeling. And this particular one, the Buddha pointed to as one of the best places to really begin to see the structure of how our suffering is created. And that attending to feeling tone through mindfulness, just simply attending to whether something's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, can really cut very deeply into our habitual pattern of reactivity and lead us in the direction of freedom from reactivity, freedom from that struggle that results from all of those things that happen in our minds. So we only have 1 minute, so we should probably stop. So thank you for your attention.